This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 124, Shuffling Paper.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin. I'm here along with my co-host Phaedra Boinodiris. Hello, Phaedra.
Hey, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing great for a rainy Friday, rainy fall Friday, I think. But it's good to be with you. We're missing our other co-host, Michael, today, who's trapped in work land and is not coming to Games at Work today. But we wish him well. And you and I, have a couple of interesting topics to share with our listening community today, don't we?
But first, I have an interruption.
No, what?
Well, actually, that's what our first topic is.
Oh, yes, it is.
The cost of interruptions and what that means in one's daily life, whether it's a work life or personal life. So there was an interesting article out on NPR you shot us.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, you know, it was kind of funny. It started pretty much the same way you just did here, too, which was Ari Shapiro and Shankar Vedantham talking about interruptions and what the cost is of interruptions. And there have been plenty of studies around this. Do you remember there was a Hewlett-Packard study, I think, once that was comparing like the impact of the IQ points you lose based on the level of interruption that happens during the day, like when your mail goes bing and like there's new mail.
And let me stop the PowerPoint I was working on or the letter I was writing and switch gears.
Yeah, exactly. And task switching, while we think we're actually being more productive, there seems to be story after story and research paper after research paper saying you're not actually more productive. You are losing flow. You're losing engagement. And all of a sudden, you are much less productive, and it takes a long time to get back into what you were doing.
I'm trying to remember what the rule of thumb was. Do you recall, is it first thing in the morning you have to get all your really hard stuff done first, and then you go to the easy stuff that you can switch around with, or was it vice versa? I don't remember. Do you?
The rule of thumb that I remember was always doing the things that are least pleasant / hardest first, because then you kind of get over the hump on the hill and you can coast down the other side. I don't remember that working out for me all that well, because it seemed like the interruptions that would come even later in the day, like the 4:55 in the evening on Friday, hey, do you got a minute? You know, message that comes in.
Nope, not here.
Nope, I can't hear you. There's static on the line.
This is an artificial intelligence responding in place of the person you were looking for.
That was always what I've tried to follow. And I recently heard a productivity tip too that I thought was really clever. That was said using index cards for the tasks that you have, and you can always reshuffle and reorder those index cards so that you're always going to be working on the most important thing at the time that you're doing it. So by having all these index cards laid out with the things that you need to do, and you put them in the order that you need to do them, you know that an interruption is an interruption, and it's not necessarily the most interesting, the most important thing you need to do at that particular point in time, because you've got your prioritized list. And if something needs to jump the list, it goes on the card, it gets prioritized properly, and then off you go. So,
a dynamic playbook for your day.
Maybe. I have not tried it. I've thought about
sounds
trying
like a
it.
Lot of paper shuffle, paper writing, paper shuffling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you were to look at my desk here right now, I've got stickies in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different colors and different groupings of them. So, it's just another way of looking at things. So how do you deal with interruptions yourself, Phaedra, when someone's kind of like catching you in the midst of something? What's your strategies?
I don't know if I have a strategy, Michael. I don't know if I've got like a bona fide publishable strategy. It's hard. It's really hard. One thing I do, and I found myself doing lately a lot, is that first thing in the morning, I write a list. And just here's the things that I absolutely have to get done today. Bam, bam, bam. You know, and I try to prioritize it. And then as soon as I get it done, I cross it off.
Right.
You know, so there's that level of,
I got something done.
Instant gratification. I see this mark through this line through these words, and that seems to help me. But the interruptions, no, you're absolutely right. There certainly is a cost to it.
So in the article or in the conversation between these NPR celebrities, they were talking about applying electrodes to the prefrontal cortex and giving it, what do they say, a little boost, right? A little electric stimulation to then measure the recovery time between when you were interrupted and when you were back in flow. And
Is this electrical boost, does this happen before you drink your double espresso or after?
You know, for me, a double espresso is a good start to a day, and it can only get better with another one or two of those later on.
Do you remember the size of the double espressos that Michael Rowe would drink?
I've seen him on occasion where they've been like five or six shots in his double espresso. Yeah, so and then life tends to get pretty happy. So
agreed. No electrodes needed.
Yeah, so coffee and caffeine are certainly a big help here. I don't know if I kind of wonder about this study that these guys were talking about, whether the electrodes and the small boost, as they called it, was something that people decided that they really wanted to get faster in terms of their recovery, so they didn't get another boost. I don't know. It seems interesting, and it seems, you know, this is another space and place where human augmentation is going to be more and more prevalent as we find ways to even hack ourselves, life hack ourselves into getting more done and being more in the now, right? In the zone, in flow, in the now to get done what needs to get done.
I think it makes a lot of sense, and I agree with you. It's the tip of the iceberg with regards to what we've seen so far, with regards to wearables in particular, right? Mm-hmm. No longer just around your wrist, but what is it that you can not only measure from your brain activity, but also stimulate so that you can be more productive. I'm sure we'll be seeing more of that. It's scary, though. I mean, I hear it, and I'm thinking, is that really coming? Man. I hope it's actually executed better than the way it sounds.
So what I found really kind of funny, it relates exactly to this, is another NPR piece that was incidentally on the same day. These are both September 22nd pieces that was using texting to communicate and stimulate the brain there too, so to speak, for behavior changes, right? So they were using, in this particular example, simple texts, so just SMS messages to people's phones to help them remind themselves of activities that they could do, dietary changes they could be making to help lower their blood pressure and lower their cholesterol. So on the surface of this, I thought it was really interesting that here we have a discussion about interruptions. And then the second thing that comes up is the power of interruptions and how that actually can help do behavioral change and what people thought about it.
Well, now this one is different. This is positive messaging as in the form of interruptions, right? So here you are, you're on this destructive path, plowing through a case of donuts, and suddenly you get this reinforcing message saying,
don't eat 12 donuts, only eat 10.
Something to that effect, or your wearable is detecting a spike in sugar and fat. Please reconsider your choices now.
Well, and you know, there are aspects of this that I think of the wearable space in conjunction with environmental detection can be super helpful. So there might be positive messages that say, hey, I noticed that you've taken 4,800 steps today. Great job. You know, a short walk around the block and you will be closer to your 10,000 step goal, right?
Right.
You know, and maybe while you're walking, it could be a time when a message like that would come up because you are potentially more interruptible at a point where that message would have maximum impact, as opposed to you're on the phone, you're in an important meeting, and your watch buzzes, and you look down and says, "Don't forget to go to the gym today." You know, you're going to get a streak of 5 days at the gym if you do today. That could be maybe the wrong timing. So maybe there's a way to combine the two to say, when's the optimal point in time to provide an interruption-based message for maximum impact when you're in the process of task switching anyway, potentially? What do you think?
I am really curious at that answer. When is the optimal time? Is it just as you are doing the quote-unquote bad behavior? Or is it at the beginning of the day when you sort of have a fresh start? I would think you want to detract people who are maybe just starting to do a bad behavior. You know, you're just biting into that first of 12 donuts, you know?
So, like, if you are, you know, your GPS notices that you are cruising slower at one of these potential places of purveyance.
Eateries.
These eateries. And it says, "Hey, keep on driving. You're almost at your destination." I mean, maybe driving is perhaps not the right one here.
Right.
But there's enough that's discoverable when you think about GPS and you think about time of day, you think about exercise levels, heart rate, resting, and so on, that you might be able to infer a tipping point.
Now, what if we were to merge the two conversations, the two NPR stories, where you are somehow reminded on how to be more productive, right? So, you know, you're sitting there and you get this email or this Facebook notification and you're in the middle of some project that you're trying to crank out and it detects that you've just moved to Facebook and now you get a reminder that says, "Hey, get back to work."
Well, there's software out there that'll do some of those things. There's, I don't recall the names of them, but there are software out there that says, "Hey, exclude all of these potential distracting things, mm-hmm. and let me just focus on what I'm doing." Or similarly, so for mobile devices, for phones, there are ways to set your phone that if you are moving faster than
yes.
you know 10 miles an hour, cut the capability of the phone down to accepting a phone call, perhaps.
Right. So you can't text. You're not tempted to text.
Yeah.
Yep.
There, when I think too about some of the medical style wearables that will detect what level of sleep you're in, for example, and to be able to say, "I notice that you are about to come out of a deep REM sleep." And or REM sleep, sorry, REM is a band, and now would be an appropriate time to gently wake you up, as opposed to waiting for the next cycle and knowing what time it is and knowing how long your cycles normally are. You'll be more jolted out of your deeper sleep to be awakened than this is the right time as you're coming up out of REM sleep. Now I'll wake you up. I think there's a lot to be said here for human physiology, for the psychology of this as well, to look for the positive reinforcement as well at the opportune moment to get the outcome that you're looking for.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Oh, I love this.
Let's see what happens next.
Yes, exactly. So you were sharing just as we were getting ready to go that there is a medical discussion and conference starting to come forward. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yes, in early November in Washington, D.C., there's going to be a conference called mHealth, M as in Mary. And they're going to have a showcase of serious games discussions there, advanced games for health. And I've heard only good things about this conference. So that's definitely a place where I will be coming up soon.
Planning on doing a presentation or talk there, or are you going as an
attendee? Yeah, in fact, we're going to be presenting some of the work that we've been doing in conjunction with the high school out in Texas. I had mentioned on a prior show where this high school has been modding Minecraft to be a medical Minecraft, and we've been intersecting the world of Minecraft gaming with cognitive computing. So it's gonna be a lot of fun, and the high school kids will be there, and some of the teachers who've been working on the project. So I'm super pumped.
Wow, when this gets introduced and shown, I know I'm going to be very eager to have a look at it. And we'll include in the show notes the location of said conference and some material to help people find a little bit more of what you're going to be showing and talking about.
Definitely, definitely. And in November, we'll be ready to share the recipe, the curriculum for how other teachers and students might be able to mod their own version of Minecraft and to use cognitive computing within such an environment to do really cool stuff. So stay tuned. We'll talk about it on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm also giggling because I just tweeted that we're recording a show right now dealing with interruptions, and I just tweeted during the show. and I've already gotten 2 likes back on it. So what were we talking about again?
Minecraft. Interruptions.
So there's one other thing that I was eager to share, and it's a little bit of software. I just went through the upgrade of it today to version 5, but this is one of the things that's helped me both deal with interruptions and in some cases to create interruptions too, because it's been so helpful. There's a piece of software called Text Expander. It's by Smile Software, and I find it super, super helpful because when I've got to share with somebody, hey, I've got a call-in number, can you please join? I always have to go and find the 1-800 number, and I got to find the passcode and go and do all that kind of stuff. So I've got this set up now, Phaedra. I haven't shown you this, but I will the next time we're together, that if I do semicolon call, so semicolon C-A-L-L, and press space, the software leaps into action and goes, oh, Michael just means to expand that little text into, please call my conference call number. It's 1-800-da-da-da-da-da, and here's the passcode. And this thing has saved me a lot of, you know, personal interruptions because I haven't had to go and hunt down those numbers anymore because I've just stored them once and I can just pop them in anywhere. And it helps me interrupt other people because I can instant message them and say, hey, can you chat? Yeah, great. Here's my phone number. Let's call.
I love it.
Yeah. So I think it's terrific. So, and anytime when I've done that to you, it's like, how does he have that number typed in that fast? Now you know my secret.
Ah, that's great. Love it.
Well, before we close, are there any new games that you are playing, Phaedra, that you'd like to share?
Like I said, I am up to my eyeballs in medical Minecraft, and that's all I've been playing. But I've been playing all kinds of different versions of it in multiple levels. But what about you?
Well, I've started playing a new game too, and it's one that Michael turned me on to from last week. I guess it was just a week ago. It's a Star Wars game where it's a little bit like Diablo. You run around as a small avatar. You get to create your avatar. It could be one of the several different races. You get to outfit them. You know, they've got armor and, you know, boots and gloves and weapons and all that kind of good fun stuff. And it's called Uprising. And you zoom around to a bunch of different star systems. You run missions. You upgrade your stuff. And it's lots of good fun. So very, very, very cool. So, Michael, thank you very much for finding a way to take more time out of my day.
Interruptions.
Yes, interruptions.
We miss you, Michael. Hope you're having a good day.
Yeah, we are. And with that, I think we will say goodbye for this particular show and look forward to being back with you again very soon. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.